Number two, to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. Three, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Four, to blaspheme the Vedic scriptures or scripture in reference to the Vedic version. Five, to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be an imagination. Six, to give some interpretation to the holy name of the Lord. Seven, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. Eight, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualic activities which are offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, Karma Kanda. Nine, to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Ten, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachment even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. Every devotee who claims to be Vaishnava must guard against these offenses in order to achieve the desired success, Krishna Prema. Once again, I thank everyone for joining the Bhakti Sangha conference call today. Let us move to our next part of the session, which is Srimad Bhagavatam class. May I know who all have joined the class this morning?
Mataji, can we just hand over the call for the introduction because Prabhu is already there on the call.
Yes, Mataji. Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today, we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sankarshan Das Adhikari Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 6th chapter, 13th verse. Before going to the call, I'll hand over the call to Praveen Govind Prabhuji to give brief introduction on the Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Praveen Govind Prabhu. Please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. My Dhanat pranams to all the devotees on the call and my Dhanat pranams to His Grace Sankarshan Das Adhikari Prabhuji. Prabhuji is a spiritual master of thousands of and has thousands of students and disciples all around the world. During the late 1960s, at the height of the Woodstock era, Prabhu was a singer and songwriter who shared the stage with musical luminaries like Jefferson Airplane and the Grateful Dead. Even though he always felt there was something greater calling him, a spiritual light that beckoned Prabhuji into the sublime and powerful work. After years of intense searching and after a period of deep meditation and prayer, Prabhuji was blessed to find his spiritual master in 1971. As a dedicated disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Prabhu has now, for half a century, tasted the sweetest adventure of ever-deepening self-discovery and has ever-widening global outreach that has led him to circle the globe again and again, impacting the hearts of tens and thousands of listeners all over the world. He started the ultimate self-realization e-course that has over 30,000 subscribers. Now based in Austin, Prabhuji continues to offer hope to thousands across North America, South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, and Australia. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dandavach Pranam all goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand over the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for the nice welcome. This is a very auspicious opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. Actually, we are all eternal residents of the spiritual world. We foolishly misused our independence to try to be independent lords. And Krishna gave us a facility, a place where we could try to do that. But at the same time, he has personally come. He's come in the form of his holy name. And he's come in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can actually associate with him directly, right here, right now. In other words, just imagine being back in Goloka Vrindavan, seeing Krishna face to face, being right there in his physical presence in Goloka Vrindavan. The same potency is right here, right now, by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's as good as being back with Krishna himself in Goloka Vrindavan. So this is a very auspicious verse. Sasyam Nigunam Shlokan Gayanti. Ahabhava Sapta Samudra Vantya Yateshu Farse Shvadipunyame Tat Gayanti Yatrantyajana Murare Kramani Badran Avatar Ranti. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Learned scholars chant about the transcendental qualities of Lord Vrishabhadeva in this way. Oh, this earthly planet contains seven seas and many islands and lands, of which Bharatvarsha is considered the most pious. People of Bharatvarsha are accustomed to glorifying the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnations as Lord Vrishabhadeva and others. All these activities are very auspicious for the welfare of humanity. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bharata Bhumite Haila Manushya Janma Yara Janma Sartakakari Kadapada Upakara. As stated in this verse, Bharatvarsha is a most pious land. The followers of Vedic literature understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different incarnations. And they are privileged to glorify the Lord by following the directions of Vedic literature. After realizing the glories of human life, such people should take up the mission to spread the importance of human life throughout the whole world. This is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The word Adipunyam indicates that there are certainly many other pious men throughout the world, but the people of Bharatvarsha are even more pious. Therefore, they are fit to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world for the benefit of all human society. Srila Madhvacharya also recognizes the land of Bharatvarsha, Vishedad Bharate Punyam. Throughout the world, there is no question of Bhagavad Bhakti or devotional service, but the people of Bharatvarsha can easily understand the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, every inhabitant of Bharatvarsha can perfect his life by discharging Bhagavad Bhakti and then preaching this cult throughout the world for the benefit of everyone. Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vidam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Padijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditam Shcha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadeshatarine. So it's interesting in this connection to study a little bit about this name Bharatvarsha. Actually, formerly the whole world was known as Bharatvarsha. Papa describes how during the time of Maharaj Pariksit, the whole world was called Bharatvarsha. But gradually, this name Bharatvarsha, which originally meant the whole planet Earth, has come to mean just what we call India. So this particular verse, Lord Chaitanya is speaking to those persons who've taken birth in what we call India. They have a special duty. I find it interesting in this connection, having been born in the Western countries, not being an Indian by birth, I find it interesting, the first time I went to India was for the Mayapur Festival, I think it was 1980. But I was a young brahmachari then, I was awestruck. When I felt like I had come back to my home. I was in tears, I was feeling symptoms, just really very, very powerful emotions that now I have come back to my home. So it seems from this that actually in a previous life, I was actually an Indian by birth. But then somehow Krishna arranged for me to take birth here in the Western world so that I could, as a Westerner, I could engage in preaching Krishna consciousness. So but I see that at least some of you, if not all of you, are from basically from India, you see. So those who are from India, they have a very, very special duty. It's your duty to take up Krishna consciousness seriously and spread it all over the world. And then what about us others who were not born in India, you see? Prabhupada covered that in the Bhagavatam class in Los Angeles back in December 17th in 1973. Quote, so it is not limited under certain country, certain atmosphere, certain population. Krishna consciousness is open for everyone. So therefore our request is that these Europeans and Americans who have taken to Krishna consciousness just become perfect in understanding the science and become guru and deliver the whole world. So Lord Chaitanya noted all the Indians and Prabhupada ordered the same thing to the Europeans and the Americans. So it's a universal order actually for everyone by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada. This order is there for everyone. The whole world right now is suffering like anything due to a lack of Krishna consciousness. I mean, it's actually a hellish nightmare. There's actually every place on this earth is a hellish nightmare. Of course, the holy dhams are special. They're transcendental. You go to any place, any city, even out in the country, in the countryside, wherever you go, oh, this whole planet, it's a hellish nightmare. Why? Because people are misidentifying with their material bodies. They're killing the cows. They're eating cow meat. They're engaged in all kinds of sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, smoking, drinking. I mean, and all the advertisements are glorifying these things. You know, the beer advertisements, the cigarette advertisements. The whole culture is geared to sense gratification. So in this way, these personalities who've evolved through the 8,400,000 species to arrive in the human form, where Atato Brahma Jigyasa, they now have the golden opportunity to reawaken their original divine consciousness, Jivara Svarupa Hoy, Krishnara Nityadas. They have this most auspicious opportunity to awaken their dormant Krishna consciousness. But due to the demoniac atmosphere on this planet, they're all demons. They become demons by bad association. Even though every single living entity is a devotee of Krishna, actually. We're all Krishna's expanded expansions. Krishna expands us from himself as separated expansions. There's integrated expansions, which is Krishna and all the different avatars. And there's a separated expansion. So we are all separated expansions of Krishna. We exist for the purpose of giving loving service to Krishna. We're having a loving relationship with Krishna. That is the very reason and purpose for our existence. But love has to be voluntary. I put a gun at your head and I say, love me or I'll blow your brains out, you see. You can't love someone who's forcing you. Love has to be voluntary. So since love is voluntary, that choice is always there for the living entities in the spiritual world. If they want to not love Krishna, they're free to try something else. Well, I don't want to love Krishna. I just want to be Krishna. You see, if they're envious, they have the facility to do that. Now, what is the odds of that happening? I mean, what pure devotee serving Krishna, associating with Krishna in his transcendental pastimes in the spiritual world would want to give that up? I mean, what are the odds of that happening? There has to be some chance of it happening. Otherwise, we're just slaves. We have no free will. So free will means there's the opportunity to misuse that one's free will. You see, misuse it. So what are the odds of a living being misusing that free will? It actually the smallest possible odds, which would be 1 divided by infinity. So that's the actual mathematical odds of a living entity in the spiritual world misusing his or her free will It's one divided by infinity. Now, how many living entities are there in the spiritual world? 10 million, it's an infinite number of living entities in the spiritual world serving Krishna in pure loving devotional service. So you do the math, you see, you take the infinite number of living entities and the infinitesimal odds of them misusing their free will. What is the math of one divided by infinity times infinity equals infinity? So therefore, we have an infinite number of living entities who've taken birth in this material world, even though we're an infinitesimal fraction of the infinite number of living entities in the spiritual world. There's an infinitesimal number of living entities who are suffering like anything in this material existence. Krishna very much wants us back. If a child runs away from home, the parents are very disturbed. You see, oh, my child has run away from home. Krishna is very in anxiety. He's in transcendental anxiety. My parts and parcel, they've left me. They're suffering like anything. So, yadaya dahi dharmasha glanir bhavati bharata. Krishna comes again and again and again to deliver the living entities back to home, not by force. It's not like the police come and, you know, grab the criminals, put handcuffs on them, put them in the paddy wagon, take them back and put them in a jail cell. Krishna's not going to do, he could do that. He could round us all up and say, okay, you don't belong out here as criminals in the spiritual, in the material world. I'm going to put you in handcuffs and drag you back. We'll have a prison in Goloka Vrindavan. So you won't be, that doesn't work. You see. One has to have the free will, the desire to go back to one's original identity, Jiva Sarupa Hari Krishna and Nitya Das. So Krishna comes to give us the opportunity to try to attract us. That's why he has these amazing pastimes 5,000 years ago. These amazing pastimes, lifting the Govardhan Hill, all his pastimes with the gopis, with the gopas, with the cows, the calves, the peacocks, the flute. All of these things are simply to attract us. Oh, this is amazing. So in India, you see, there's that still that feeling, oh, Krishna, you see, Krishna's pastimes. It's very widely known throughout India. You see. And outside of the world, no one knew. It's outside of India, I mean, it's, no one knew. So Prabhupada, therefore, mercifully came back in the 60s. He came here. You see. 1965, he headed out. The order of his spiritual master, suffering two heart attacks on the boat, thinking, well, if a third one comes, I surely will not survive, but still I must carry out the order of my spiritual master. He could have stayed comfortably in India, but no, he took on the austerity, the risk in this old man's body, coming to a place with only 40 rupees, if you can imagine. Of course, 40 rupees now, maybe it's worth $1, then it was worth about $10. But still, what you can do, how are you going to survive on $10 in the United States of America? $10? You see? Just see the risk he took, you see, for his own personal safety to come here to on the order of his spiritual master. He didn't know whether he'd be successful, he'd be a failure. It didn't matter. I must endeavor to carry out the order of my spiritual master. Victory or defeat, that doesn't matter. My success, my perfection, is to take the order my spiritual master has given me and dedicate myself fully. So that same order that Prabhupada got to spread Krishna consciousness, that he took all risk upon himself to do it, that same order has been given by Prabhupada to us, you see, deliver the world. Deliver the world. Lord Chaitanya gave it to the Indians, and Prabhupada gave it to us Americans and Europeans. And of course, it applies to the Australians, the South Americans, everyone. So the universal order to the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, deliver yourself and deliver the world. So that's our duty, deliver the world. So how are you going to do that? Well, you can only deliver the world to whatever extent you've delivered yourself. You can't awaken others if you're asleep. If you want to awaken others, you have to wake up. So it's a very interesting quote in Prabhupada's purport. This is a very interesting quote, and you all were reciting the 10 offenses in the earlier part of this program. The 10 offenses were supported by that mantra. The 10 offenses, it's very, very important that we master what is known as offenseless chanting. Here's how powerful it is. Prabhupada explains in his purport. He says, if one chants the holy name of the Lord without offense, he becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the whole world will take up chanting Hare Krishna. So that's very powerful then. So one can say, well, Prabhupada's Jagat Guru by the whole world is in chanting. No, not that Prabhupada said something wrong. No, Prabhupada did have the power to live with the whole world, but he left that to us. You see. He very kindly left that to us. So that if we fully embrace this order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, we can actually become the world deliverers. We can see this whole world transformed in our very lifetimes. If we can just somehow give up all these offenses against the holy name, you see, become absolutely perfect chanters of the holy name, avoid all these offenses. So the more we become offenseless chanters, the more we are empowered to revolutionize the entire global consciousness in every town and village throughout the entire planet, and even the entire universe. You see, we can impact not only this planet, but every planet throughout this whole universe, all the way up to Brahma Loka, down to Patala Loka. We can impact the atmosphere in every planet throughout the whole universe. But at least let's do this planet, you see. Let's focus on making this whole world Krishna conscious. You see? Make everyone. You see? Right now, it's a very horrible situation. Shvabhidra ushtakarai sangshitak parishak pashu na jatta karma pato peto jatta namagadad grajaha. Those men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Praise those men who do not listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So we have a world population right now which is in the category of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. So Prabhupada explains them. Well, who will they glorify? Who will the dogs, hogs, camels, and asses glorify? Big dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. So this means all these leaders we have, like Biden, this U.S. president, and, you know, all these leaders throughout the world, what is their qualification? They're simply big dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. That's it. The little dogs, hogs, camels, and asses worship the big dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. And what is their qualification? They do not, or their disqualification, they do not listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from all evils. So we have to immerse ourselves in remembering and vibrating and broadcasting the pastimes of Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book how powerful this is to read, memorize, remember, and vibrate. These pastimes of Krishna actually qualifies one to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. So if we take this process seriously, Vaidura Prabhus and Madhujis, if we take this process very seriously, we'll not take birth again. Punar Janma Vidyate. You will not take birth again in this material world. This material world is no fit place for gentlemen's livings. So we should get out of this nasty place and get back to home, back to God, where we belong. You know, we don't belong here in this hellish nightmare. Everybody's running after sense gratification, illicit sex life, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. We don't belong here. This is not our home. This is not our place. Our place is back with Krishna and his transcendental pastimes in the spiritual world. Anyone of five rasas, neutrality, servitorship, parenthood, friendship, or conjugal, anyone of five different relationships. Now, sometimes I already say, well, you know, I don't know what my relationship is. That'll encourage me to take up Krishna consciousness. No, it doesn't work that way. Someone wrote me the other day, they wanted to know, what is their rasa so they can be encouraged to do devotional service? No, it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. One has to be in the mood of, you cannot achieve your actual original swarup or identity with Krishna until you come to the point of unconditional service. Not that, well, if I can be a gopi, then I'll surrender to Krishna. If I can be a gopa, then it'll be okay, but maybe not a cow or a calf or a peacock. No, I have to be this. No, there's no unconditional devotional service. you put any condition, you're not going to stay in this world of the conditioned souls. You can't put any condition. You have to have an unconditional desire to serve your beloved Lord in any way that he wants you to serve him. As a blade of grass, as a rock. There's a certain rock that Krishna sits on to take his lunch. A devotee, there's a devotee who's actually serving Krishna from that rock. You see? And if you ask that rock, would you rather be a gopi? He says, no way. See, every devotee feels that this rust is the best. Or the flute. Yes, the flute, if he wants to be a gopi, no way. I get Krishna's lips much more than those gopis get Krishna's lips, you see. Even though he's serving Krishna neutrality, he feels he's better off than the gopis. So in the spiritual world, everyone has a particular rasa, and everyone feels my rasa is the best. I wouldn't believe one of the other rasas. My rasa is the best. But to get to that position of realizing your eternal relationship with Krishna, your Swarupa, and his transcendental Leela, you have to become the unconditional servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. You have to become fully surrendered to the bona fide spiritual master. Tadvidi pranipatena paripashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnana jnanenasta padarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Not they have seen the truth, they are seeing the truth at every minute. You see? These self-realized souls are seeing the truth at every minute. So when you connect with such a self-realized soul, bona fide spiritual master, and you learn to see everything as he sees it, you see? Then your life becomes transformed. I can never forget that first lecture I heard from Prabhupada. It was so wonderful. This was 1971. Prabhupada flies into San Francisco for the Ratha Yatra Festival. I'd never seen my beloved spiritual master. But now there we are in the San Francisco airport. We're waiting. In those days, there was no security. You could go right inside the terminal of the jet bridge where the people come up. There was 300 of us, you see. 300 of us, 150 on each side. We had two. It was amazing. All the non-devotees came off the airplane. They were going, wow. There was a big, they came out in the middle of a kirtan, you see. There's a 300 devotees having a joyous, super ecstatic kirtan, waiting for Prabhupada to come off the plane. And all the karmi, the non-devotees are coming. They're coming. They're really amazed. Wow, what's going on here? They're really amazed. They came off the airplane. And finally, there comes Prabhupada. Now we all, down on the floor, offering our obeisances to Prabhupada. It's so glorious to see the pure devotee of Krishna, Jagad Guru, who's manifested here to save us from our suffering. So then then Prabhupada went to the Ratha Yatra site and gave the most wonderful lecture. The very first word I heard from Prabhupada's mouth, he said, Jagannatha Shami, Nayanatha Papagami Bhavatume. So that was the first word I ever heard from Prabhupada's lotus mouth, Jagannath. And he said, he had the most amazing lecture. There was about 300 devotees and about 3,000 hippies all out there with their flowers and their beads, and all ready for a beautiful day in the park with the Hare Krishnas. And Prabhupada said, you have all seen God. Because Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. He said, and every day you're drinking water once, twice, thrice, more than that every day. If every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, immediately become Krishna conscious. Become Krishna conscious is not difficult, simply it requires practice. So Prabhupada made it, he said it's not difficult, you see. So why do we have difficulties in Krishna consciousness sometimes? We don't. We never have difficulties in Krishna consciousness. We have difficulties when we're not in Krishna consciousness. If someone thinks Krishna consciousness is difficult, that's a lie. That's illusion. Krishna consciousness is not difficult. As it sometimes said, simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked. Because the crooked are not in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is simple. When it's difficult, it means we're not in Krishna consciousness. So what do you do if you're having difficulty? You just go Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yato yato nishchalati, mama shanchanamastaram, tatastato nayamya tat, atmanyami mushamnyayat. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must suddenly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. See, the intelligence is the mother and the mind is the naughty child, running here, running there, breaking the cookie jar, spilling the ghee all over the kitchen floor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the mother has to keep that little child under control. Little Johnny or little Amit, come here, you sit down. You sit down right there and don't move. Stay right there. You sit very nicely. Don't get up. No, sit down. Don't get up. Sit down. So in the same way, we had to deal with our mind. Okay, mind, you're running here, running there. Nope. You come right here to the lotus feet of Krishna, Guru and Krishna. Mind, you stick yourself to the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna, and that's where you stay. Don't go anywhere else. You stay right there, glued with epoxy cement to the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. And that's where you belong, my dear mind. Bajahu re mana Srimanda nandana Abhaya chada nara vindure Durlabha manava Jamana sat sangi tarae baba sindure. My dear mind. There's different approaches. You can say, you stupid rascal, mind, stop it, stop your nonsense. Or you can say, my dear mind, please engage yourself in the devotional service of the divine son of Nanda Maharaj. So, it's a big, 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 big duty we have. We have to become pure devotees and make the whole world Krishna conscious, you see. Actually, some of us want to take birth. We're so dedicated to this world deliverance mission. We want to take birth after birth until it's successful. Some of us want to see that before I go back to Godhead, I want to see that Lord Chaitanya's movement is completely inundated in the entire universe. It's not happy in business right now. The karmi, the non-devotees are suffering like anything. There's no reason for this suffering. All these, just like what happened in the Gaza Strip with Hamas and Israel, horrible atrocities, what to speak of, you know, so many murders and rapes and all the abortions going on. I mean, it's just unbelievable how sinful this place has become. It's so sinful. So unbelievably sinful. It used to be abortion was illegal, but now it's legal. They just passed a law here in Texas that after 6 weeks you can't do it. That's a step in the right direction, but it should be after, you can't do it anytime, period. It's just, these people are completely ignorant. They don't know, they think the self is the body. They don't realize the spiritual reality. They think everything came, just like Dr. Stephen Hawking said, everything came out of absolutely nothing. Can you imagine, he's considered a great scientist? Who has great knowledge of reality. He says everything comes out of absolutely nothing. This is voidism. How anything can come out of nothing? He says everything has come out of nothing. Is there any example of even one thing coming out of nothing? There's not even an example of even one thing coming out of nothing. What does it speak of everything coming out of nothing? The fact is that everything comes out of something, and that original something, that original cause of all causes, Karta Karanam, that is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. So we need to be firmly convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that I'm his eternal servant, and then we have to go out and flood the world with this knowledge by book distribution, Harinam, Sankirtan, cultivation programs, whatever we can do. We have to get this message out. You are not the material body. You're an eternal spiritual being. You're qualitatively one with the Lord. The Lord is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. your actual identity is you are eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Why are you misidentifying with this body, which is temporary, full of ignorance and misery? It's just the opposite of what you are. Why are you torturing yourself? Why are you punishing yourself by misidentifying with this material body, which has nothing to do with you except a tool that you can use or misuse? So in this way, we have to become very, very convinced without any shadow of a doubt, totally convinced. You must have absolute conviction. All doubts should be kicked out. Kick them out. Doubts, out. Get out, Mr. You're not welcome here in my home. Mr. Doubt, get out. So the more we read these books, the more we chant Hare Krishna, the more we feelingly engage in offering our obeisances to Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnavas, the more we sincerely engage in devotional service, whether it's cutting vegetables, distributing books, you know, buying a new temple, whatever it may be. The more we sincerely try to serve, the more we become liberated from material consciousness, the more we become empowered to spread Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. We have to be very strict about following these regulated principles also. Not that we water them down, you see. That's why now there's a tendency in ISKCON to water down illicit sex. Well, as long as you're married, it's okay, you know, to relieve tension. No. Sex life is for procreation according to religious principles. Prabhupada very clearly states, what is the system for procreation? Once in a month, 4 to 6 days after the menstrual cycle, after the husband and wife both chant at least 50 rounds of japa, they can have sex life of trying to bring a child into the world. That's illicit sex, you see. You think, well, my wife is feeling kind of disturbed and agitated, so I'll pacify her a little bit. That's illicit. Even with your wife, it's illicit. So this is getting watered down at ISKCON right now. This idea of what is illicit sex. But my wife and I are very determined to educate everyone. We're propagating a lot of people for the people to understand. Because otherwise, we have to take birth again. Otherwise, if you're still giving in to sex desire like that, you're not going to go back to Godhead. You see, there is no sex in the spiritual world. It's none. There's no sex life. There's no abortion, no pregnancy, no sex life. You see? So if one is still attracted to sex life, the male and female combination, you see, the sexual pleasures, you're not going to go back to Godhead. You have to give it up. You see? You have to be transcendental to that. You see? Brahmachari, Brahmacharini. You have some children, that's fine. And then Brahmachari, Brahmacharini, finished. You see? Brahmachari, Brahmacharini. My wife and I, we've been married for, I don't know, many decades. I think, 30 or 40 years. And we never had sex life, you see. We live in separate rooms, separate beds. Brahmachari, we were Brahmachari, Brahmacharini, working together as a team of preachers to make this world Krishna conscious and spread Krishna conscious movement all over the world. We travel together, traveling and preaching all over the world. Of course, now COVID has kept us locked down here in Austin. But normally we circle the globe twice a year, going to every continent except for Antarctica, preaching together, North America, South America, Europe, Australia, India, everywhere. Malaysia, oh, so many places we go. My disciples everywhere. So we want it. We work together as a team. Many people remind me that they're bothered by sex desire. Very common thing I get in my emails from people. I explain to them, you see, sex life means injecting semina into the woman to make her pregnant, right? That's the whole meaning of sex life. But this preaching is actually the greater sex life, you see. Injecting Krishna Katha into the ear holes of all the living entities to make the whole world pregnant. Why just make one woman pregnant when you can make the whole world pregnant? So I call this preaching is the greater sex life, you see. Make the whole world pregnant with love of God. Let them give birth to Krishna consciousness. Make them pregnant with Krishna bhakti, you see, by preaching Krishna consciousness. With great determination, with enthusiasm, with patience. This gives great pleasure to Prabhupada. This desire to preach and spread Krishna consciousness, it pleases Prabhupada like anything. I know, because when I first joined, Prabhupada was in London and I was here in Austin. So Prabhupada mailed my initiation beads from London. What a wonderful thing to get in the mail. Wow. Prabhupada, a letter from Prabhupada, your name is Sankarshan Das, and here's the beads duly chanted on by me. Wow. Just imagine getting that in the mail from Prabhupada. So I collected some Guru Dakshina and I mailed it off to London. And I told Prabhupada how I wanted to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. Wrote him a little note, you know, a little letter. And Prabhupada wrote me back the most wonderful letter. Like an accountant, he gave me the exact amount of the checks that I'd written. I received these checks for this amount, this amount, this amount. A pukka accountant, you see. And then he said, I can see you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, eager to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So now, and then he gave me a blessing. He said, so now continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. Wow. For 50 years, that instruction is sitting in my heart. Admittedly, we go through ups and downs in Krishna consciousness because we're not pure devotees yet. We go through our ups and downs, you see. We're still suffering the dualities. Sometimes we're enthusiastic, sometimes we're not. It's because we're not pure devotees, and we still have these experience the dualities. But I remember that instruction from Prabhupada. I'm feeling discouraged right now. Forget it. Kick it out. Be enthusiastic. Even if there's something you're not, even if something you're not very enthusiastic about, like maybe I'm not enthusiastic to wash the pots, for example. But no, enthusiasm or no enthusiasm, just be enthusiastic. Whatever service required, be enthusiastic to do that service because it's all preaching. You see. Everything we do is preaching. Cleaning the temple, distributing the books, doing the kirtan, whatever we're doing, offering the arti, it's all preaching. You see. And especially when we distribute books and we explain the knowledge to others, that especially is preaching. So we should always do everything very enthusiastically. Our chanting, our reading, our preaching, it's all part of the preaching movement. Do everything with giving classes, hearing classes, offering obeisances, taking bath or brushing the teeth. Let me be very clean so I can serve Krishna nicely. Suchi, not muchi. So the more I'm enthusiastic, you see, to be Krishna conscious and to spread Krishna consciousness, to whatever degree I'm enthusiastic, to that degree Krishna will bless me 1,000 times more. It's a pretty good investment. Put down $1, get $1,000 back, you see. So even a little bit of enthusiasm we can manifest for serving the Lord, he reciprocates at least 1,000 times over. So we've been going on for quite a while now. We have there's some questions now. I'd be happy to try to answer them. We have 15 minutes left. I'd be happy to try to answer any questions that might be there. Anyone have any questions, challenges, corrections?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class. Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
I can hear you.
Yeah. Very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for reminding us that, you know, chanting offenselessly is help us to grow more in Krishna consciousness. We have to keep on trying. And thank you so much for sharing Srila Prabhupada pastimes too. It was very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Any questions?
Yes. I don't have any question, Prabhuji. I request devotees, if you have any question, please raise your hands, so that we can unmute you. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, if you have any questions, please raise your hands.
Well, there's no more questions. We can. Any questions? No.
I've nobody raised the hand, Prabhu.
I'd like to make an announcement. Anybody who would like to like to hear more of my teachings, my explanations, you can. I have a free e-course, the Ultimate Self-Realization course. It has 30,000 people signed up right now. But it's called, you go to join www.joincourse.com. JoinCourse.com. You get on my free e-course. Plus, we have live lectures every day. My wife and I are both giving lectures every day. You go to livelectures.net. In fact, my wife will be giving a class starting in about 15 minutes. As soon as we end this, you can go to livelectures.net, and my wife will be giving a class. Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi. She's known as Guru Mataji all over the world.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for wonderful class, Prabhu. Laltangi Mataji, I think you raised the hand. You can go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances and thank you so much for the very, very nectarian class. So this question is from Prabhupada's books, may not exactly from the class. This is about, can you explain what is plenary portion? I looked it up in the dictionary and it said that it's a complete portion. But I wanted to hear from you that what exactly is the plenary portion?
Well, Krishna's plenary portion is fully Krishna himself. Mm-hmm. Krishna is fully himself, his plenary portion. Even though there's the original form of Krishna, and then there's the expansions also like Balaram, etc. Those plenary portions of Krishna are also fully Krishna. I think somebody typed in something. It disappeared. Let's see if I can. You type it in, type it again, because this disappeared from my screen. Popped in there. Let's see, someone typed in something.
Prabhuji, there is one more question on the chat. Prabhu, Srila Gurudev, kindly enlighten. One need to try to become pure devotee. Does compassion automatically follows or one need to cultivate?
No, it all comes automatically. All saintly qualities come automatically by cultivating Krishna consciousness. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are automatically nourished. So you don't have to cultivate compassion separately. Compassion automatically develops as your Krishna consciousness develops. It's a concomitant factor of Krishna bhakti. Compassion, mercy, these are concomitant factors. They automatically awaken with your awakening of Krishna consciousness.
Thank you so much for a wonderful answer, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, Gurudev. I'm your student. And I was just wondering, in one of your books, you've written about the male hormones, how to control. I couldn't understand it since you were talking in the class about the sex life. And I don't get agitated, but do contemplate how to get over this.
Yeah, it's a natural thing, you see, where men are attracted to women and women are attracted to men. That sex desire is a natural thing. That's how we end up, otherwise we wouldn't be able to, the species wouldn't get propagated. You know, the human race would become extinct if we didn't have that sex desire. So it's nature's arrangement to continue the species. But we have to understand that that can be utilized in Krishna's service, according to regulative principles, for releasing Krishna conscious children. But other than that, you should be totally detached from it. So how to get free if one is feeling sex desire? That's the question. How to get free from it? There's a nice example in this connection. Jamunacharya Albandra of South India, he was formerly a king enjoying a harem, actually. The kings had harems. They had something. They had their queens, their princesses, the harems. They had so much facility for sex pleasure, the kings. But he became a sadhu. those sometimes those thoughts of his previous days of sexual pleasure with all those girls would come back to his brain. So he's given a very nice poetry in Sanskrit. Yadavari mamma cheta krishna padaravinde navanava rasadamunyam tanasit tadavari patanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukunashti vanamcha. Ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, tasting nava nava rasa, ever increasing flavor and nectar in that service, whenever I did in my past activities of sexual enjoyment, my mind goes, thinks about contemplating sex, my lips curl with this taste, and I spit at the thought. So you have to be a good spitter, Prabhu. Not that you should literally spit and, you know, put some spit on your floor or something. But in your mind, you must spit at such thoughts. Get out of here, you damn thought. You're not welcome. You're spitter the damn thing.
Right. As I said, I don't indulge and don't get agitated, but still, your words will be savior for me. Another, can I ask another question, small question? You also told about this absolute conviction. Can you repeat it, please? I missed some words.
I'm not following your question. Can you repeat it for me?
In the lecture, today's lecture, Your Grace told about absolute conviction.
Absolute conviction.
Yes. Can you repeat something of it?
Yeah, absolute conviction means I must take the order of my spiritual master as my very life and soul. You see? And I must be absolutely convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I'm his eternal servant. So when the mind has a tendency to be doubtful, that's the nature of the mind. You see? So you can't listen to your mind. You have to use your intelligence. You should study Prabhupada's books, intelligently analyze things, and see that what Prabhupada says makes a lot of sense. You see, it makes sense. It's very logical. It's very scientific. You have to see through, it's called Shastra Chakshus, one who sees through the eyes of scripture. So don't listen to your mental concoctions. Kick your mental concoctions away and instead hear the words of the spiritual master and the scriptures to see exactly how things are stated scientifically. What is the actual reality? You see, don't live in unreality, live in reality. In this way, you have absolute conviction.
Right. Thank you, Gurudev. Lando Padam.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Radha Damodar Prabhu, you can go ahead for your question, Prabhu. Radha Damodar Prabhu, you can unmute yourself and you can go with your question.
Okay. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna Srila Gurudev. Please accept my humble obeisances. This is Radha Damodar Das. You said by chanting without offenses, we can achieve perfection in Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
But what about somebody who chants, but he is not very sincere? Like I have been chanting for so many years, and whenever I chant, I keep doing so many things at the same time. So is there a solution to become sincere?
Yeah, chant early in the morning. Before the sunrise. You chant before the sunrise?
No, Gurudev. I'm not chanting before the sunrise.
You have to chant before the sunrise. I personally get up, I chant my rounds at 2 o'clock in the morning before Mangal Arati. So the thing is, the early morning is the best time to focus on Krishna. So, see, once the mode of passion, once the sunrise comes, the mode of passion comes in. Mode of passion means do this, do that, go here, go that, do that. The mode of passion, the doing mode, comes in the sunrise. Before sunrise is the time for meditation. So you have to get up early, go to bed earlier at night, get up early in the morning, and chant 16 rounds before sunrise. And then you'll be able to focus, you see. Before sunrise, there's nothing to do. It's just a time for meditation. Everybody's asleep. Nobody's doing anything. It's a time for meditation. That's the key. Early morning chanting.
Okay, Gurudev. Okay, Gurudev. I'll follow your instruction.
Indu Mataji, can you go ahead, Mataji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you for a wonderful class. I did have a question. It's also regarding chanting. And you were saying that as long as we are chanting, when we are chanting offenselessly, you know, then we would be able to preach the mission of Krishna consciousness. We would be much more effective in everything that we're doing. So I was just wondering, how about until then? Because I know that my mind is wandering every time I'm chanting. You know, it's very difficult. You have to constantly intentionally bring it back. So then how do we go about even preaching to adults, kids at this stage?
Do the best you can what you got. Right now, we're not pure. Our minds are running here, running there, jumping like monkeys, running from this branch to that branch. But we have to do the best we can. You see? Just whatever, we're not pure devotees seeing Krishna face to face, eye to eye. We're not Jagad Guru on that level. Here we are struggling neophytes trying to keep bring our minds under control, but still Prabhupada taught us to preach, deliver the world. He gave us the order to deliver the whole world. So we have to endeavor to the best of our ability, Krishna within and Krishna without. You see, Bhagirna Singha, Hudayana Singha. Krishna within, Krishna without. We have to endeavor seriously the best of our ability to preach Krishna consciousness. And that sincere endeavor will also purify us and help us to chant better as well. Now, Guru Manaji is here. She'd like to make a point.
This is
on Zoom, not start meeting. I don't think that I didn't advertise it in my members. Maybe a few, a little overlap, but I didn't advertise it to my members.
So how long is it
going to
go?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Why you think?
What you think that?
I don't know.
6:30.
I'm not sure.
Well, I should wait.
No, the devotees are. It was not advertised. It was not advertised to the people on.
But I see many ads.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead. Guru Manaji now is giving a lecture. So we're going to invite everybody. We're going to go ahead and end this lecture. Invite everybody to come to go to livelectures.net. And so Guru Manaji now will give a wonderful lecture on Bhagavatam. So I'm going to go ahead and end this now so that everyone can tune in to her wonderful lecture.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you so much. Appreciate everyone's coming together. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for enlightening class today. We are very grateful to you and we look forward for a association again in the future, Prabhu. Let us pay obeisances to Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vancha Kalpatarubhyasha Krupa Sindhu Evacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Granta Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Sankarshan Das Adhikar Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Thank you all dear devotees for joining. Thank you so much. We are closing the call here. Hare Krishna.